How are we all?
Good.
Some things?
Sort of.
Well, look, good morning, everybody. I would like to announce this morning that Labor will be discontinuing the previously announced policies of the $5,000 tax-free zone applied universally, and also removing the proposed exemption from GST for fresh fruit and vegetables. These changes free up around $1.5 billion a year, which we will be looking to, in stages, reinvest in policies that more directly assist our hard-working families that are under so much pressure of cost of living.
Why do these policies not work?
Well, we haven't had an opportunity to bring them in yet. What we're seeing is that we've found better ways to assist our hard-working families, things which are more directly focused on their needs. There is new evidence that things like, for example, fresh fruit and vegetables are mainly consumed by people who can afford more, and there are better ways to get relief to the most need.
So the policies weren't going to work.
There are better ways to deliver the relief, more targeted ways, and that's why we're making this change.
Does that include the tax-free threshold as well?
Yes, if you think about it, the 5,000 tax-free zone, which is nice and simple to understand, ends up delivering effective tax relief to top-income earners as well as bottom, and we think that's unnecessary and will be more targeted.
So that policy didn't work either?
We think there are better ways to do it.
But you could compensate that by raising taxes at the top level, couldn't you?
You could.
But so it would have had more impact on low-income earners, the money they got back from the $5,000 tax threshold when they had less disposable income. It was more important to them, wasn't it?
You know, I'm looking forward to answering some more questions after Monday. On Monday, in my State of the Nation speech, I'm going to be announcing a first tranche of initiatives which will more directly assist families in need.
So these decisions, though, made mainly for fiscal reasons to drop these? To free up the
$1.5 billion is a considerable amount of fiscal headroom to create, and that will assist us to provide the room for new policies, which we look forward to announcing.
Do those policies, families in need, does that include working families?
Yes, it includes working families.
Will the targeting be delivered through the tax system?
We will be making some tax announcements, although not particularly on
Will it be worth $1.5 billion? Will it roughly balance the savings from that?
And will beneficiaries be part of it as well?
There may be some coverage for people who are on benefits.
Are you looking at dumping any more policies?
Sure, with some other policy changes during the year.
Are things like capital gains tax, are they stay?
Capital gains tax will stay.
Raising the super age?
There will be some adjustment to superannuation policy, and we'll release the details of that over time.
What about working for families extended to beneficiaries?
You'll have to see on Monday how we're planning to address the issue of some of our most vulnerable families.
So are you looking at extending working for families to beneficiaries, because that is that sort of the area?
You're going to have to wait for Monday for that stuff.
So are you still committed to 67 for super?
Yes, that's our policy framework, and that will be obviously very gradually over time. The issues that we're looking at is how to ensure that we manage social equity, gender equity alongside that to ensure that the transition part is fair.
Because
that's the detail that's under review.
There was a lot of pressure coming on from unions, obviously, at the conference. They don't want to see it.
Yeah, it's a controversial policy with some, but it's also in terms of being truthful and honest about the fiscal framework. It's very necessary that we do adjust, in some ways, our superannuation policies to ensure that they're there for the next generation. It's about making them sustainable. What we want to ensure is that they're fair as well.
Is Phil Gough on board with these policies being dropped? I mean, that's a bit of a statement.
Yes, he is. I've spoken to him.
Yeah, there's a slap in the face of Phil Gough. These were two of his central policies last time around.
And I was the finance spokesperson when they were announced. I was part of a collective, and we made decisions based on the information at the time. We have new information now, and we are going to be advancing the cause of creating a more open society, one with more opportunity for our families, just in different and in some ways more targeted ways.
How do you think the rank and file will view the action of these policies? Because they were discussed at length in 2011 and showed up.
Yeah, look, I think they'll see it in the totality of the announcements we get to make, and I think they'll see it as a positive step forward overall.
So will beneficiaries end up getting more money from the government come Monday under a Labor government?
I'm going to give Monday speech on Monday.
But if you're looking at a more targeted approach, will that be more bureaucratic?
No.
How do you do a more targeted approach without putting in rules around ensuring those that you're aiming at do get the money?
Well, I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but you really will have to wait for the speech on Monday to firstly see
the kinds of policies they were aiming at, and we'll give you some idea about how they'll be delivered there.
David Shearer indicated he was going to dump these policies in his first major speech as leader. Are you copying from his wildly successful playbook?
This isn't a speech, it's a stand-up.
When did you decide to dump these policies?
Look, I indicated late last year that they were under active review. We talked to our party policy committee, our party council, our caucus strategy committee, and we foreshadowed it with our caucus.
David Shearer was talking about dumping these things over a year ago, though.
2 years.
2 years ago.
Well, it's always a consensus-building process within the party, and I'm very happy to be able to bring this decision.
What other policies are under review?
Oh, quite a lot. We are going to be coming forward with a refresh policy line, which will be in some ways different from what you've heard from us before, and we're going to be targeting very closely the needs of New Zealanders as we see them. Let me be really clear, though, our values haven't changed, our principles haven't changed. We want to do two things above all. One is to build a high-value economy with more jobs and better wages for New Zealanders, and secondly, we want to close down some of these inequality gaps and create opportunity for all our families. Those are our overriding goals for this election and for the new direction we want to bring to New Zealand.
On the subject of better wages, is Labor's policy of a $15 an hour minimum wage, is that under review?
No, it's not. That's been reconfirmed. I reconfirmed that to the CTU and other party conference.
Could it go higher? Could it go higher?
No plans to do that at this point.
So $15 is the minimum wage you have to
earn.
How do you close inequality by removing the $5,000 tax-free threshold? Doesn't that increase inequality?
We'll have to wait and see.
Is this an admission that you're struggling to balance the books, that you can't make
the
numbers add up?
No, it's not. It's a statement that we think that there are better and in some ways more targeted ways to deliver the relief that we consider essential to New Zealand. Not just to the poorest, by the way, but also to those hard-working families that are in the middle of their income bracket who are just working harder and harder, longer and longer hours, just can't seem to get ahead because their cost of living keeps rising. And by being more focused on those groups, we can deliver more value to them without less beneficial spending elsewhere.
Just looking at that logic and the $15 an hour policy, times have obviously, that was the same as you took into the last election, times have obviously changed, cost of living has risen. Do you not think that the minimum wage should rise as well? Won't $15 an hour be out of date come the end of this year?
Well, look, I've said a couple of things at that CTU conference, and look, let me reaffirm the balance of them that I said then. I know some people have tried to play splits and divisions with it, but here it is. Firstly, we are absolutely committed to raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour in our first 100 days. Secondly, we are going to progressively bring the living wage in, starting with the core state sector and then rolling it out as we can afford through Crown entities, etc. Thirdly, we want to change the industrial relations framework to ensure that over time we get better wages and better conditions for our workers rather than this race to the bottom that the national government has embarked on. Those are all very progressive policies. They are all wildly popular with workers, as they should be, and they are rock-solid commitments from Labor. Do we need to go above $15 an hour? I'm sure it will go above $15 an hour. But we are also, as I said then, fiscally responsible. And we have fully costed our policies. We're going to bring a budget to New Zealand that they can be sure will work. We won't write cheques we can't cash, and we have a strong team committed to delivering responsible government.
What do you think about repayments of the superannuation fund? Are you going to resume those on taking office?
Yes, we will be resuming repayments to the New Zealand superannuation fund, provided that the fiscal books are in the bank.
Will you keep the capital gains tax policy as it is?
There may be some fine-tuning, we'll rule that out, but we're certainly committed to a capital gains regime which is not including the family home, which is not retrospective, and which will be fair to them.
And are you keeping the policy that will stop foreigners from buying homes?
There's no moves to review that at this stage.
But it's a possibility?
Look, I haven't actually been across any conversations about that. I'm not aware of any moves to look at that. I don't have any particular desire to look at it because I don't want New Zealanders having to pay twice what they need to pay for a local home just because foreign investors have jacked the price up.
Will a Labor-led government stop exploratory deep-sea drilling in Tauranga Basin and Great Southern Basin? Will you actually stop?
All sorts of questions today. We've been very clear about our position, which is, firstly, we are not opposed in principle to deep-sea oil exploration. Secondly, if it is to proceed, it needs to have world best practice environment standards, full liability cover and cleanup capacity, and that based on what we've currently seen, we're not yet convinced that those conditions have been met. We'll be working with the industry to ensure they can.
Okay, so will you stop it if you get into power, because they're drilling now? So, will
existing
you stop
consents
it?
Have been issued under the current regulatory framework. We work with the industry over time to ensure that I either migrate to the new standards or they could be reviewed.
So you won't stop it, they can keep it?
I just said in quite clear language what we're going to do.
Yeah, it's not clear, that's why I'm asking. I'm just saying,
let me make it clear again.
Yeah.
If a drilling consent has been issued under the current regulatory framework, then under the law it is valid at the time it is issued. If the law and the standards change in future, my expectation would be that there would be a migration path or opportunity for those companies to bring their operations up to those future standards.
Yes, okay, I understand now. So will you stop any further drilling that hasn't been consented yet under the current regulation? Will you have some sort of moratorium?
No, I've already answered that question. There's no moratorium. There will be no opposition in principle to deep sea oil exploration, but there will be world best practice environment standards, including full liability cover and full cleanup capacity.
So deep sea
drilling standards will be raised.
So deep sea drilling will carry on under Labor.
If new consents can't meet world best practice, they will not proceed.
Will you change the law, though?
Yes, we will change the law to ensure that we have world best practice standards.
So that's something you'll do in the first 100 days?
I haven't put a timeline on that. I imagine it would be relatively urgent.
So you're going to change the law when you get into
office? Going to change the law to do exactly what I've said, which is we are not opposed in principle to deep sea oil exploration. We're very clear about that. We want to work with the industry. But the industry's told us they are capable of world best practice environmental standards. New Zealand's current law does not reflect that. So we will be changing the law so it does, and we will expect future consents to meet those standards. We will work with the industry to ensure that existing consents...
What if the Greens...
Sorry?
Which country's model would you follow?
Look, there's more work going on around that, but one country that we do respect highly is Norway. They have a lot of experience in terms of offshore oil drilling, and they have good standards both for environmental management and also for the way that they deal with the finances which flow from it.
Would a Labour-led government look at setting up a royalty scheme like they have in Norway?
That's an issue we are considering. We haven't made any decisions on that.
What about a sovereign wealth fund, as they have in Norway?
It's a very interesting idea. We haven't made any decisions on that.
Are you looking at it, though?
Isn't this interesting? Yeah. We are having a discussion on tax policy, and suddenly we're discussing the proceeds of oil drilling. It must be early in the year.
So are you looking at...
Look, I have looked at the Norwegian thing. There are a number of aspects that are interesting about it. We haven't made any decisions on that nature, and nor has it been through...
What if the Greens say that stopping deep-sea drilling is a bottom line in any Labour government? What is your position at that point?
Well, look, we'll work closely with our Green colleagues, and I'm sure that we'll be working together with them in a new government. I'm sure it will work well, and we have processes where we can agree to disagree on different matters.
So if the Greens tell you to stop deep-sea drilling in a Labour Greens government, will you?
Well, that's not an issue which has arisen between us. The Greens are well aware of our approach, which I think is a principled approach, which will give world best practice environmental standards, and that is our position.
So,
just on Winston Peters, do you think he should choose to go with who he gets the most votes in terms of the best party?
No, I think he should choose to go with who is going to deliver in New Zealand that most suits his vision of what the future should be. Now, our vision and New Zealand's first vision are pretty close, which is we want an economy which is more owned by New Zealanders and which works for New Zealanders. But it is a matter for New Zealand First to decide where they go, and they will decide that based on what New Zealanders say. Because the great thing, as you know, about an election year is that New Zealanders are in charge. They vote for the parties that they want based on the policies that they want. And my job is to maximise the vote for the Labour Party based on our new direction. That is a better, stronger, higher value economy with more good jobs and higher wages, and it is also a fairer society with more opportunity for all our families, and that's what we've been delivering.
Should he state those intentions before the election?
I believe he said he would be stating his intentions after the election. That's a bit of a...
Yeah.
What's your position on electorate deals in how do you Epsom and East Coast Bay's backdoor entry to Parliament listen to record John Kennedy's support partners?
Well, look, hasn't the last 24 hours been interesting? We've almost got a laugh about it. I think the government knows that there's a sea change on in the mood of New Zealanders. New Zealanders want a higher value economy, they want a fairer society, and they know that the current government doesn't have a plan to deliver that. So, recognising that mood change, Mr. Key is not silly. He is scraping the barrel to think about any way that he can garner those last couple of votes he might need, and he's swallowing the rat of doing a backflip on Winston Peters, and he's swallowing the rat of now finding newfound trust in Peter Dunn, who only a few months ago he said leaked a classified document, and he's found a new way of carrying the ACT albatross around his neck. And I think New Zealanders know what's going on. We all know what's going on. It is the dance of the desperate, and they will hold John Key accountable.
So on that basis, then, they will seek to win Te Kaitaka Rau from Maharawira.
That's our plan.
Peter Dunn says he's taking his food bill back to the drawing board. And do you support the sort of ideas he's come up with now about...
Look, I haven't had a briefing on that. I'll be up front with you. I'd like to have a look at that. The food bill, as I remember from my days as health minister, is a very complicated beast, and the regulatory implications of that can be quite fraught.
He's written an entire copy about it in the health. He hasn't had a briefing on it.
I haven't been briefed on that matter, as I said. I've been thinking a lot about tax policy, and I will be looking
at it. Is
he acting out of turn?
Who?
David Shearer.
Oh, the David Shearer's column. I thought you said John Key's column.
No, David
Shearer. Oh, no, I saw David Shearer's column. Yeah, no, I thought that was fine. Yeah, good.
But you haven't been briefed about it.
I've seen David Shearer's column.
But he didn't talk to you about it first.
I didn't see it first. It was talked about with the team, and it's a perfectly fine column, which is fully cleared through the process.
Is he acting out of turn?
No, he's not acting out of turn at all.
So, David Cummett, what do you think of electorate deals?
Look, I think my job is to maximise the Labour vote. Secondly, New Zealanders will place their votes with parties that they think best reflects their intentions. And thirdly, after Election Day, we will work with whoever we need to work with, although I have ruled some out, to deliver a new direction for New Zealand. I said we have nothing in common with the Conservative Party. That's the answer. What's the question? I said we have nothing in common with the ACT Party. That's very unlikely we'd be working with in the future. But I would pick up the phone if Peter Dunn.
But is it fear on voters in those electorates to be put to doing deals that help parties get into Parliament?
Look, I don't think the way Mr. Key is operating this is fair. I think he's scraping the barrel. I think he should be proud of the policies of the National Party, not scraping up deals with discredited minor parties.
Peter Dunn says that he hasn't spoken to John Key about a deal in Ohari. Do you believe that?
I sometimes find it a bit difficult to take too seriously the things that the Prime Minister says from day to day, because he seems to change his mind quite quickly.
So Labour will do no electorate deals with the Greens or Honiharawira?
You said we're working closely with the Greens. I can't see us not standing a candidate in any seat, but we will certainly be working with the judgment of the public when it's made.
Doing a deal on a seat then?
I have no such deals in mind. I don't expect to be.
Not standing in seats where Labour members are close to winning.
I haven't been approached on anything of that nature, and I have no particular idea.
Would you make Honiharawira a minister in a Labour-led government?
I certainly have no intention of that.
But would you, if you wanted to be a minister, if that was the price of support, would you let Honiharawira be a minister?
Nothing to that effect. And look, we're in the situation where we're running on Labour's vote, where we think our job is to maximise that vote and to put together, as the largest party in an alternative government, a new direction for New Zealand.
Will you rule out Honiharawira as a minister then?
I'm not ruling out a post-election arrangement with parties other than the ones I've said, but I certainly can't foresee Honiharawira being a minister.
Honiharawira could be a minister in a Labour government?
It's extremely unlikely.
Thanks very much.
And that's all the time we've got today. Thank you.